I tell you what, it is so impressive the type of person, the kind of person that the Lord Jesus is. You know, it could be so easy to have just been satisfied with the fact that, you know, we had been conducting this evangelical ministry, and evangelical in the sense of it having been an evangelistic, let me use that word, that's really the word I want, this evangelistic series of meetings, three-day meeting, and the people were with you for 3 days. You knew you were teaching the solid word of God. And by the hand of God, the power of God, you were performing all kinds of miracles. And not only were you performing miracles, but you were performing miracles that led to the praise of God. You knew that you had done your part to take care of their souls. You had done your part now, because it's up to each of them to decide, those who heard him teaching all those days, to decide how they were going to respond to what they heard. They praised God in the moment of the healing. It would be up to them to also determine how they would praise God long after they had observed those miraculous healings take place. Would they praise God just for the moment, like we Americans often praise or pray to God in the moment of major disasters, catastrophes, like the Twin Towers having been brought down, 2001, and then soon afterwards, back to business as usual? Do we go out? I mean, they could have chosen to praise God in the moment while they were watching Jesus heal the lame, the mute, etc. And then 3 weeks later, God saw Jesus heal this man, and they could still be talking about how Jesus had that lame man walking and that lame lady walking and several lame children, and 5 people were mute. We know they couldn't talk. We know them. We know them personally. We know them. They had not been talking for the past 10 years. But when they left that day, they left praising God just like the rest of us. We saw Jesus heal. And they could just be going on and on about what they saw Jesus do and saying God is truly great that he was able to do all of that and still not commit their lives to God. So it's their responsibility of how they would respond to what they heard and what they observed. But for Jesus' part, he had done his part. He had fed their souls the word of God. He had healed their bodies. And you can best believe that to the extent that people's bodies were healed, their minds, their emotions, their souls were healed now, because it can be so frustrating emotionally, psychologically, to just be tied down, shut down by some kind of physical ailment. Oh, their minds were set free that day. Their psyches were set free that day too. Jesus did a lot for a lot of people. And still, he was concerned about the need for nourishment, physical nourishment, the nourishment of their bodies. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. His disciples answered, "Where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. Listen to this courage, this boldness, this bold courage. "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus sees a challenge. He does not see this. He does not perceive this challenge as being an insurmountable problem. "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. 7, they replied, "and a few small fish." And when they say a few small fish, very often that kind of fish that they're referring to now was smaller than the palm of a typical person's hand. Not the whole hand, just the palm. Smaller than that. We have 7 loaves and a few small fish. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, all 50 of them. All 50 of the people in that crowd. And some of you think, wait a minute, I thought you said these were great crowds. Didn't you say that's what the scripture said? Yes. I'm just messing with you now. No, it wasn't all 50. Many more than 50. Many, many more than 50. They all ate, verse 37 says, and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 4,000 besides women and children. And a lot of commentators who have studied the history have said that more than likely, since they had 4,000 men, because this is what they're talking about, the number of those who ate was 4,000 besides women and children. And so the 4,000 was the number of men who ate. And many people began to talk about how likely it was that many of the women were married to many of those men who were there. And therefore, each of those couples probably had 2, 3, or 4 children with them. And not that every one of those men was married, but they surmised that probably the majority of the men were married. And so some people say there may have been as few as 8,000 people there, maybe as many as 10,000 or more, 10,000 or more, 10,000 or more. But even if we use the very, very conservative number of 8,000, how do you feed 8,000 people, men and women and children, with 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish? Well, if you're Jesus, by trusting your Heavenly Father to multiply what you have so that it will become enough to feed everyone out there. And then Jesus sent the crowd away, and he got into the boat and went to the vicinity of Magadan. After he had fed them, then he sent them away.